Welcome to the Tourism in Malaysia podcast, where we explore the latest trends and developments in inbound tourism industry in Malaysia. Each episode will bring you interviews with industry experts, destination profiles, and tips and strategies for success in inbound travel trade. Whether you're a seasoned travel professional or just starting out in the industry, we've got something for everyone. So sit back, relax, and join us as we take you on a journey through the exciting world of inbound tourism. Here's your host, Uzadi Udanas, award-winning tourism activist and expert in inbound tourism industry.
Let's dive in today's episode with Uzadi.
And our special guest today is Jason Chang, a co-founder of new startup company, CineWave, which is adopting a new technology that allows users to watch a movie on a big screen while listening to the audio on their smartphone. Scaling audio, eliminating noise pollution, and enabling the big screen magic anywhere. So for those who doesn't know him, he is also a writer, a director, and co-founder of Banana Mana Films. And guess what? He has been acting as one of the Power Rangers members. So today, I will be talking to him on his new venture, and he will be sharing his point of view in tourism industry, particularly a strong opinion on how AI technology can change the game in tourism industry. So let's join our conversation. Right, Jason, welcome to our podcast, Tourism in Malaysia, the podcast for our tourism industries players, where we can discuss the current challenges, the current opportunities in tourism. I think for listeners' information, I met Jason at a recent WITS Indie event in Penang recently. And I was so impressed with his presentations, especially on the AI and the human beings. And I hope I can get some points, Jason's to share his thought about our tourism industry. But first, Jason, welcome, Jason. How are you, Jason?
Thank you, Yu, for having me. I'm really honored to be here. All right. Somewhat of an expert, but I'm not an expert at all. Just trying to do my thing.
Jason, can you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about yourself and how you get involved in this business, Jason?
Yes, well, I'm one of the co-founders of CineWave, a new company that we formed just a few years ago. We really just launched about 1 year ago, and it's a very simple concept that we created. It's a kind of a platform or a software as a service, and it really allows people to watch something on a big screen, listen on their phone. Mm. Now, that seems very simple, but sometimes people don't quite get why we would do that. Yeah. But it basically is kind of a scalable audio solution. So you imagine now, you can see a picture behind me here. Uh-huh. We've got a white wall and we put a projector there. Yeah. And everyone is listening to a movie on the big screen using their own mobile phones. Now, believe it or not, this has never, ever been done before. People have tried to stream audio, but it's all out of sync. So what we developed is the synchronization technology to allow your mobile phone audio to sync with the big screen. Now, what does that actually do? Lots of applications after that. We started out just as movies, obviously, because that's what we built it for. But even for movies, it has massive implications because now you can do outdoor movies and we can scale to thousands or even 100,000 people. It doesn't matter whether it's an outdoor movie, it's fireworks where you want the audio soundtrack to scale to 100,000 or 1 million people and they can all listen in sync with the fireworks, or a drone show, building projections. It's all those sorts of things that traditionally you've only got one or two options: speaker systems. So if you want to scale to 100,000 people with speakers, it's virtually impossible. In other words, you know, because you're getting echo, you're getting massive delay, lots of cabling, lots of power requirements, and lots of noise pollution. When we do it, everyone can basically tune in on their mobile phone. it's kind of like the old days when we had radio.
Yeah, once upon a time.
Simulcast on radio. But, you know, even today, I mean, you can still use radio. But one, where do you buy FM radios anymore? Yeah. And secondly, to buy just that bandwidth, you know, for the fireworks show or whatever, it's really expensive. They have to come down with a lot of infrastructure with trucks and, you know, satellite dishes and everything to beam the music back to the radio station and then to broadcast it. So our system's really easy. It's just plug and play with a laptop and we broadcast the audio. But again, the synchronization technology is new. We managed to get patents for it. So we've been patented in at least 4 countries now so far. And it's just good recognition that this has never really been achieved before. Yeah. So that's really exciting because it allows you to do a lot of things at scale. And audio is so important, you know, like people really don't realize how important audio is until they go out to an outdoor movie screening or projection mapping or fireworks. And most people don't even realize that fireworks have music or that drone shows have music. You know, they have a soundtrack because no one ever scales the audio part. They just focus on the visuals and, you know, they video it. And, yeah, I mean,
it's very interesting.
Festival in Vietnam, the Da Nang International Fireworks Festival, and it runs for 6 weeks. And there are so many people who didn't know that there was any music to it. They're all choreographed, 20-minute fireworks show, all choreographed to music. But because they don't scale the music beyond that sort of the stage area, which, you know, houses, well, they can seat quite a lot of a few hundred people, I think. But beyond that, down the river, all the 100,000 people that line the river don't ever hear the soundtrack.
Whoa. Because listen, before we go to the sounds, the magic of sounds, can you just tell us where are you based? Where you are Singaporeans or you are Americans? Just a little bit about yourself and how, where do you go? And are you a sounds engineer or something like that?
Sure. Actually, I was born in Malaysia. I was born in PJ.
Serious?
And moved to Perth, Australia, grew up. And then about 18 or 20 years ago, I moved to Singapore for acting work. So I was an actor, started out. But before that, in Australia, I was a doctor.
So wow.
From medicals, medical background to acting. I went to the drama school in Sydney. And then I came here for a few acting gigs many, many years ago. And then I kind of liked it. You know, I liked moving back to Asia and... enjoyed the atmosphere and of course enjoy the food and then sort of ended up living here, got married, you know, had a family here. So I'm not a sound engineer, but I did from acting, me and my co-founder, we moved into production work. So we started a film production company called Banana Mana Films and we ended up making shows, mostly produced all in-house because basically we didn't have the budget in those days. And so we kind of went down the whole DSLR revolution and we self-produced and did sort of post-production in-house as well. So we learned how to do our own audio post-production, visual post-production, you know, learned all Final Cut and a lot of the technical stuff that was involved in making a film. But so much so that we finally were able to make a film called Jimami Tofu, which became the longest running film in Singapore cinemas.
Wow.
It ran for 2.5 years.
Ooh.
Before the pandemic closed us down. And then when we went into pandemic, we wanted to solve one of our problems, which is basically audio, even in cinemas. Mm. Even in cinemas, you know, you realize that you don't get the perfect mix unless you sit right in the sweet spot. And only if that cinema is calibrated for that sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized when we had our film, because we did all the mixing, we realized that most cinemas actually, you know, they're not perfectly calibrated. And then if you have a screening in any other situation, like, you know, a hall, a lecture theater, it's horrible acoustics. So we... Mm-hmm. got the idea, what if we could deliver the same audio that the filmmaker intended to everybody, no matter where they sit? So with our system, you listen on your phone, you're getting the same mix no matter where you sit. And we know that it's perfectly balanced because you don't have to sit near right in the middle. You can sit on the right-hand side of the theater, left-hand side of the theater, you're getting perfect balance. And then when we came out of pandemic 2 years later, we launched CineWave, and we're now very happy to deliver our own film on CineWave using this system.
How's the take-ups in terms of these the cinemas in Singapore? Are they accepting this kind of technology?
Well, of course, it's not technology for the cinemas. The cinemas already have massive infrastructure that they paid a lot of money for in their speaker system. So of course not. So this is really for other people, other venues, like the venue that you see behind me.
Yeah.
Is basically an island with a white wall. And we're able to take that, put a projector down right in front of the wall, put some seats down, and suddenly, you know, we were able to charge a $35 sing, $35 ticket for people to come out and watch, at an outdoor cinema. And I think what that proved was that if you create an experience that people feel is different, unique, and then gives them great quality audio, they're willing to pay for it. We also did a screening, about 4 months of screenings on the top of Marina Bay Sands. That was quite a high ticket price, $48 per seat. And again, that experience, though, drew a lot of people because we sold out, I think the first 2 months, 1,000 tickets were sold out in 2 days.
Wow.
So,
amazing.
In terms of, I think what our message is to the tourism industry is, I think we have to start thinking out of the box in terms of unique experiences. I mean, we sort of created these experiences by simply thinking, what is the best consumer experience? You know, what is the best experience for tourists, for audiences? And that's all we focused on. We said, well, first and foremost is sound quality. You can't have a good cinema if you just put a couple of speakers outdoors in a park. It just doesn't work. Yeah. And anyone who thinks that works is fooling themselves. In fact, we talked to so many event companies here and, you know, people who wanted to organize movie screenings, and they just kept telling us, oh, you can't charge for it. No one will pay to go to an outdoor movie screening, sit on the grass and listen. But we said, yeah, of course no one will pay because you're making them sit on the grass outdoors.
Yeah.
You know, there's zero comfort level. So we fixed that straight away. We realized that there were no chairs. We even went and made custom chairs. So we made custom high back chairs with a bit of a neck support and back support, reclinable even. People loved it. People wanted to buy the chairs. And we fixed a major issue, which is clarity of audio. If you give them bad quality audio, every time people will go home, they will just, if you can't understand, you know, the film and you can't have clarity, people will just turn off straight away. Whereas, interestingly enough, your video can be a little bit unclear. It can be pixelated. It can be, you know, even a little bit noisy, the video.
It's okay.
It's like a Zoom call. Your video is stuttering.
Yeah.
Audio is clear. Perfect. You know, I can understand everything because people don't realize that, you know, clarity and information is carried 99% through audio. We could still have this complete conversation even though our video is turned off, right?
That's right.
Turn off the audio and we'll leave in 2 seconds. Zero information can be imparted through our visual, the visual that's broadcast.
I agree. Jason, you know, recently we had this COVID-19 pandemic, really a profound impact on the global tourism. So in your opinion, how has the tourism industry evolved since pandemic? What trends do you foresee that shaping its future from your point of view?
I'm not so sure that I've seen it evolve that much. I think everyone now is just happy that it's returning.
Yes.
That tourists are just coming back and, you know, they're doing things.
Yep.
But I'd like to see, you know, more invention in terms of what's new, right?
Invention.
Because I think people are resting on what worked before. They're just happy that what worked before will just keep going. We're seeing event companies just do the same thing over and over again. It's just kind of, I'm going to bring some food trucks and I'm going to have a bouncy castle. And I think everywhere we go now, as we've been traveling around actually for our own, for business, we're seeing the same tourist attractions everywhere, right? And we're not seeing a lot of people reinvent themselves or create unique experiences or even really use technology to their advantage. I think that's going to be the next thing that will, you know, set someone apart from someone else. Yeah. I think we're using a lot of old, outdated technology, and we're not really thinking about the outcome for the audience.
Yeah, interesting. You say that unique experience. Just for example, KLCC, Kuala Lumpur Twin Towers. It's been there, and a lot of visitors. But how, you know, in terms of unique experience, what can they adapt on a new out of box experience for KLCC? You know, maybe you can just give some tips on that.
Well, for example, we presented a sort of a gallery experience at WIT Indy, actually, for some of the delegates the night before.
Yeah.
What we did there was we created sort of 8-minute videos, actually created with the help of AI, which was amazing. Okay. So we took human stories, and then with the aid of AI imagery and video creation, we created these 8-minute stories with audio. It was an audio visual story. We put them up on 3 screens in a tiny room, which is all we had. With the use of our technology, CineWave, we were able to have audio to each one of these screens perfectly synced. So you could be facing one screen and watching and totally immersed in that screen. And then you could turn around, change your audio channel and listen to another screen, and then turn around and listen to the third screen. And what we found was we had, you know, a group of 30 people crammed in a room, but they were all lost in their own different worlds. Uh-huh. They could take out their headset and talk to each other and talk about what they'd just seen, which creates, you know, community. But then they could go back in and say, I'm going to watch this one, and just sit and watch. And we're finding something simple like this, which, by the way, is kind of a first in the world, because, you know, we're the only ones that with this technology. Yeah. But what it does is it allows you to have multiple pieces of content everywhere that people actually can engage with, right? They can actually watch and listen. Because you imagine if you just put a LED screen up and then you've got something rolling, you impart almost no content other than just the visuals, right?
Visual, you
can't really tell engaging stories because you really require the audio. But we have so many LED screens everywhere. Imagine if all those LED screens now have sound. And imagine if it's synchronized sound, you know, that you can just tune in with your audio. Now, what can you do with that, right? So I would say to people like that, you could run your own film festival, right? You could run a music festival there where all of those screens have, you know, local music artists playing on there, and everyone can buy food from the local stores. It can be seats everywhere. You turn that whole, you know, area into a music festival, whether it's indoor, outdoor, or both, right?
Wow.
But what you can do is you can have multiple pieces of content going on at the same time. You can have yoga instruction, you can have meditation over there, you can have, so, you know, what we do is just one simple piece of technology can solve a problem. But then you really start to, if you can start to think outside of the box, you can go, well, we could have festivals every weekend for anything. We could have a happiness festival, we could have a yoga retreat festival, we can have, you know, wellness festival, because we can have multiple screens. We just added also live audio, by the way, so we can actually kind of synchronize voice, you know, to a screen. But essentially, it's kind of limitless once you solve that audio noise pollution option, right?
Wow, this is blown out of my...
even beyond that, people aren't thinking, you know, now we're starting to get asked, you know, can you help us do an audio tour?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because people don't think of, what can I do here? And there hasn't been really a platform that was kind of a ticketing platform with audio. Yes. I mean, you could do an audio tour by telling people go to Spotify and download our audio, or go to YouTube and play it. People aren't going to do that. There are apps that are specific for certain things. Our app is specific for audio. So, and it's also a ticketing platform. So once again, imagine the KLCC area and being able for tourists to be able to just scan a code and press play, even pay for a ticket. You know, people will pay if it's good, press play and be able to walk themselves around and get an overview of the whole area. You know, like people forget that, you know, when tourists don't have context, it's just another building.
In the building.
Just another area.
Yeah,
You know, people really want stories.
That's what I say. They say contents is the king. You require a lot of contents. Otherwise, it's just the old building, just the same old buildings. Jason, if you can come back to the subject of AI, I'm so impressed. I was so impressed with your presentations. Now, everybody's talking about the AI. I believe AI has revolutionized the tourism industry. In your opinion, what role does AI play in enhancing the overall travel experience for tourists? And how CityWave can help travelers in maximizing this experience, Jason?
Well, I think AI is going to solve a lot of, you know, menial tasks. AI will be able to help everyone sort of do a lot of data analysis, writing content, drawing and marketing, sales, even sales support. AI, you know, there are AI chatbots, AI, you know, language models that can write for you and all that. However, I think, you know, the danger is that a lot of stuff will become very generic again and become commoditized, right? So I still think you really need the human element to try and curate and craft those stories. You know, if people think that, oh, I can just churn out anything, you know, with AI and just dump it on the web, I don't think that's going to work. Eventually, we're just going to be inundated with all this crappy, you know, generic
content.
Unless the person who inspires the AI, and I think that's where the talk was really focused, was that there still needs to be someone who's going to prompt the AI to do something special and to bring two things together. And that, like I just said about the KLCC area, to be able to bring an idea of technology, you know, audio technology to a space, and then to bring the artists into the fold, and then to be able to think of, let's do a music festival, pre-recorded, 10 screens, street food, but artists from Bangkok.
Wow, amazing.
From KL to Bangkok, you know, and with KL street food. I think those sorts of things are going to go off. Like, it's amazing. But give me immersive audio. Give me audio that takes me to Bangkok, to Phuket, you know, to Vietnam.
Yeah.
Give me audio that brings me to that space, and also brings me to the space that the musician loves. So those sorts of ideas, it's not going to be generated by scratch from AI, but AI is going to be able to help you. For example, you know, some of the videos that I created and some of the pictures that I created in that talk were created by AI.
Yeah.
We feel as content creators now so empowered, because anything I can imagine, I can create the image now, right? Whereas in the past, I would have to go out and hire actors, fly to that place, take photos. It would be a huge, what may have cost me, you know, $5,000, I can create in 15 minutes now.
Yeah.
Which is a really powerful, but then how are you going to use it? How are you going to create experiences that are beyond ordinary, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, to give you one example, you know, we've talked to a lot of people who look at our technology and they say, oh yeah, we want movies too. They look at our movie screenings and say, we want that too. Can you just come and put movies in our space? But when we get to this space, what I find is it's then everyone is sort of thinking really generically. So they think in commodities. So they say, put a movie here. I don't want to change anything. Just put your screen up and put your movie here and they'll come, right? And I'm going to offer popcorn and Coke. So I'm always shocked by that, because I said, look, guys, people are not going to the cinema for a reason. You know, and now you want to recreate the same commoditized experience that the cinema is trying to create, you know, you're really not thinking out of the box. You want to recreate that experience and again, overcharge them for the popcorn and Coke so that you make money just like the cinemas are doing. I don't think, and then they wonder why people aren't really buying tickets. You have to create a new type of experience, and people will come for experiences, new experiences, but it has to be unique. It has to be special. It has to be experiential, right? And inspiring for the user. Cinemas used to be like that for us because it was the only way that we could escape, you know, our normal day-to-day work. But now we can escape on our phones. We can escape Netflix. At home with a large screen TV.
Yeah.
We can escape with great projectors and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think cinemas are really, really struggling. So don't try and create the same cinema experience. You have to create something new, even in terms of the IP and the storytelling. Yeah.
It's very important, very interesting points. You were saying that the cinema has changed, entertainment has changed, but in terms of travel industry, I think the we're talking about the contents. You know, some of us were saying that tourists require experience, and it become a more and more prominent trend. So how can business offer this kind of a unique and immersive experience with Cineworth? Maybe probably some extra, a little bit on, you know, going to a cave where you can just listen to the sound of nature, the sound of, maybe you can have some advice on that.
Exactly. Think of going to Batu Caves, for example.
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure there are tours, and I'm sure there are tours where they shout at you, or they use a megaphone, or they use a headset. But you know, with high quality audio, you can deliver so much.
Yeah.
You can deliver. For example, we had a part of SG Nightfest. We were involved in one project that was done by a local musician called Inch Chua, and she created an audio tour using our system, walking down a street, telling the stories of the people who lived on that street over the last 60 years. And it was quite remarkable, quite simple. Those people talked about living through the war, clambering out of rubble to get their daily bread, and then hoping that they didn't die that day.
No.
So they go home and feed their children. And the visuals were very, very simple. You know, they didn't have much budget. They just had one lady dishing out noodles at a little stall. But behind her was a construction site, like a real construction site. So they didn't even dress it up or anything. But what was really powerful was when they delivered high quality kind of surround sounds, kind of surroundscape, you know, audio of the war.
Mm.
Planes going past, bombs blowing up, you know, children running around at that time, you know, clambering through rocks or whatever. It really, really took us away to another space.
Wow.
There were people, the organizers pushed back and said, no one wants to download an app. No one will have headphones. It's completely untrue, because the second night we did it, 400 people were walking down the street in sync, listening to synchronized audio of the whole soundscape for 40 minutes. So much so, I think they had to close off the street because there were so many people. And everyone had headphones because it was post-pandemic, right? Everyone bought a pair of headphones. Yeah. But imagine being able to take people back in time, being able to take people into any world really, really simply, because sound is so simple. Everyone's trying to do, you know, VR and AR with goggles. Goggles don't scale, you know, and then you've got to put on something that someone else just put on, you know, on my face. Really, really bad these days, you know. And they're expensive. And then I'm kind of a little bit dizzy. You know, I get that weird sensation of motion sickness. Doesn't scale. And I don't need that. You know, if you give me the audio that takes me to another world while I'm looking at the real stuff. So we can, for example, with CineWave anyway, you can think really simply. Even, you know, if you're a heritage shop like in Penang serving amazing meals, I was thinking, why don't you do a little audio tour of your shop around the neighborhood and then finish with a meal? Talk about where that meal came from, where the recipes were passed down from, and what the recipes mean. I mean, we ate at one restaurant recently in Penang just after WIT, and I was so impressed with the food. Really, really impressed. It was some of the best.
What do you had?
It was just kind of again, I didn't know the names of the dishes. I didn't know the history of the shop, but it was just this really kind of shop house, beautiful shop house. You know, was it Peranakan food? Was it Hakka food? I don't know. Our host just said, oh, it's a mix of home cooked food. It's very good. But I would have loved to have taken a 5-minute tour of that place, just audio. If I could scan and just listen, you know, I thought, gosh, I would have paid for that. A couple of bucks, $1. You know, I would have paid for that. But what it does is it gives me engagement. And once I have an emotional connection to that place, it's so much easier for me to recommend it, to remember it, to talk about it, you know. But now for me, I didn't even know the name. I didn't even get the name. I ate there really, really good. Yeah, I'll have to go there again. But I don't know anything about it, you know. Yeah. And I think it's so easy now to be able to take us to another world, tell a story, and do that. But and once again, you know, we even had to pitch, you know, to someone else saying, wow, all these gifts that you make that are from longhouses in communities that you're supporting, why don't you tell those stories and have them running in a museum? Yeah. We'll support with the audio.
Yeah,
but that's so important as well. So you could create your own little museum using something like this, right?
Does it have to be embedded with a GPS? I mean, but you know, along the way, they have to see which location are you in and then tell a story on that location. Would it be?
We don't use GPS yet, because you know, GPS can be hit or miss sometimes. You know, if you don't have a good signal, a lot of people turn off their GPS. Don't want to be draining their battery using that. So we think it can be really simple. People are thinking sometimes people overthink things. You know, it's just like. Just tell us the story of your grandmother cooking here in this house. Exactly. Put a photo up on the wall. Let me press play whenever I want. Just tell me the story.
Yeah.
People overthink that. And something as simple that as that could be really, really powerful for people, you know?
Yeah. I guess I'm talking about these tourism players. You know, as you said, it can be it can offer audio tours. This will affect the tour guides. They were saying that this is going to be replaced their livelihoods. A lot of travel agents, traditional travel agents, also worried that their job will be taken over by all this technology, by AI. What is your advice to them, Jason?
Well, it's gonna take over your jobs anyway. You know, it's like as I said in my speech, it's like every revolution. Like if you were a factory worker during, you know, the Industrial Revolution, machines took over a lot of those jobs, right? And robots and robotics came in. You just have to change. When the internet came in, everyone worried that newspapers would disappear. Yes, they did.
Yeah.
More or less, magazines disappeared. Whole industries disappeared. Right? It's going to take over your jobs. AI is going to take over white collar jobs. I'm sorry, but it's going to. So then it's now time for us to reflect and go, where will we be? Because it is going to take over jobs, unfortunately. And, you know, sitting around and complaining about it is not going to help you, because it's going fast, very fast. Firing thousands of people these days, replacing it with a robot because it can do it faster, better, cheaper.
We don't even need writers. We don't even need customer service. These kind of things.
I mean, it'll still take some time, but you know, the more people learn about it and the more they can leverage AI, more companies will just do it. But then, you know, there is a massive opportunity for people who do tours themselves, like tour operators can say, well, I love to curate tours. Well, why don't you scale your tour by, for example, again, sorry, I'm biased, obviously, I'm a startup, I have to keep plugging my technology. But if I was a tour operator, I would say, well, I'm gonna record those tours, right? I'm going to translate them into different languages. I'm going to have a synchronized tour. So I still need a guide up the front, and they come and they walk together using this technology. They can all use their headphones, but you know, in our system, they can all listen to the same tour in multiple languages at the same time.
Wow.
They can listen, you know, imagine you've got the Italian, the French tourists, the English tourists, the Chinese tourists, all in the same group, all following this maybe 17 or 18 year old guy that now doesn't have to talk because all the audio is delivered by your phone with a flag up the front. But you still have a tour guide because people still want to pay for special access. They want to pay for curation. They want to pay for you guiding them through a journey, right? And if you guided them and then suddenly you stop at a restaurant and you have special access to that special restaurant booked out for that time and the food is curated to fit that tour, people are going to pay, right? Mm-hmm. Still going to pay. But now you can scale it because your tour guide doesn't have to be the one that has to give all the information. You can now hire your 17, 18-year-olds who can listen to a separate track that tells them exactly what to do when. Oh, now you're going to point to the red building. He's going to point to the red building, and on their headsets, they get all the history about the red building, right? You see what I mean? Like, you can start to think outside of the box and
wow.
think, oh, I can, you know, now I used to run the Italian tour once a week, the English tour once a week, the Chinese tour once a week. Now I can run it all at once, multiple times through a day, because I can run freelancers who can be my tour guides, you know, that they basically guide them through safety and guide them to the restaurants, guide them for special access down the back of a street or whatever. Those things you may still want to do, but now you can scale your business and help so many more people. I mean, we were talking to a gallery the other, you know, earlier on in the year, and we said, well, how many people do you take on this tour? Oh, because our tour guide can only work these days. We do two tours a week. Two tours a week. How many people can go on these tours? Oh, because of the sound issues and everything, 15 or 20. I was like, you know, this isn't only a problem for the tour guides. It's a problem for the consumer, the tourists. I can only go twice a week or, you know, I'm here for 2 days and you're not operating those days. I mean, again, people aren't thinking of how to use us. And by the way, then they were thinking also we feel a bit selfishly. So when we did pitch our solution and everything, they said to us, yeah, but we don't want them to use another app. We want them to use our app. And we thought, well, you know,
that's where the you know, a lot of us, they want to have their own website. They want to have their own apps. They want to have everything's own, but there's no audience.
Yes.
They spend a lot of money on that.
That's right. And they sort of feel like, yeah, I want everyone to come to my website or my app and my everything. And I went, well, how many people download a gallery app? Let's be honest. It's specific to your gallery, right? And then you tell me that people don't want to download apps, but you have your own app. Yeah. And you're forcing people to download your app. Whereas, you know, we do something really, really specific and really well. Everything on your phone is an app, right? But they all focus on one specific thing, right? So our message to everyone is, hey, use the systems out there. If you want everything to be your own app and all white labeled and everything, you are going to be so far behind. I mean, we use so many services that aren't white labeled. We integrate all the time, you know, some services outside, and we use, well, we all the AI, obviously, you sign up to multiple different things. Yeah. We have to integrate. We have to use technology together. We have to grow together. And I think if everyone's thinking like this, you know, all the time and thinking, I want everything, you know, all on my own website, my own app and everything, I think it's really hard to create unique experiences. It's really hard to partner with people like that. And it's really hard to, you know.
Is it your biggest challenge for them to buy in your ideas? You know, their selfishness that they want to do themselves. They want to, you know, they don't want anybody to you know, to have a cut on your shares, on your business or something. Is that your biggest challenge, Jason?
I would say so. I think I think a large part of it is always that I don't want to use your app. I love your technology. I love what you guys are doing. I just don't want to use your app. I want it to be my app. I'm like saying, well, then go develop it. Go and get the patents. Go develop it. Go spend, you know, millions on the development team.
And marketing too.
you can do that, right? Yeah. But it just doesn't make sense. It's the same as having in-house everything, you know, in-house when now you can leverage other technologies to do it.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about Malaysia as a destination, as a holiday destination. I think you have a chance. Have you had a chance to visit all the islands, all the jungles in Malaysia before, Jason?
Yes, I have actually. I've actually dived in. Where was it? Sorry.
In Peninsula or in Sipadan or in Sabah?
The peninsula, northeast,
Redang.
North of that, what is it called again? It
was Langkawi.
Not even as far as Langkawi, but
Pangko.
In your eastern beaches.
Okay.
Many years ago, I thought.
Oh, Perhentian, Perhentian. Beautiful, beautiful.
That's where I learned my diving, and I would love to go back there one day, but you know, it's a long journey for us. I obviously just recently went to Penang and love the food there. I'm from KL, so I've recently sort of visited my family, extended family in KL.
Is Penang one of the most favorite destinations in Malaysia, or do you have any other destinations?
I think Perhentian is one of my
Perhentian.
Yeah, really. I mean, my memory of it was so great. We just sort of lived on a beach hut, you know, no aircon. It was just a fan. It was cold showers, and then I learned diving there and just being able to walk straight out onto the white sand beach and, you know, to play in the shallows and everything.
Wow. I thought sounds that was interesting. Magical. Yeah. Jason, we have a lot of what they call it, government's buildings, for example, like museums, or theaters, or it's just an empty buildings. You know? Perhaps they should have experienced it, provide some contents together with CineWave. Do you think so?
We would love to be a part of that. Absolutely. And I think what we like to do now is try to curate, specific content, site specific to that space. Mm-hmm. It can be really immersive content. So we're starting to get into projection mapping. We were involved, of course, with Vivid Sydney. Yeah. We learned a lot about projection mapping over there.
Yeah.
But also, like what we did with Indy, sometimes it's just all we need is a big screen or a white wall.
Just a white wall.
White wall.
I think we have plenty of that.
Well, if you've got plenty of that, we'd love to come and do
some. Yeah, yeah. I can imagine it's in Kota Bharu in Kelantan where the Japanese troops landed. Oh. We were all cycling. You can hear the sounds of all the bicycles and marching to the town of downtown of Kota Bharu. You can feel the excitement.
I mean, I can't say too much about it, but we're working on something similar in Singapore. At two site specific, installations, and it's about the war, and I think it's really powerful if we can that. We the great thing is the installation and everything is very, very low cost.
Yeah,
it can be very immersive, right?
Fantastic.
Especially indoor spaces. People forget sometimes, we're technology for audio, but they always think outdoor because indoor I'll just use speakers. But speakers are horrible indoors if you don't have good acoustic treatment. Like a lot of museums and galleries, it's just echoing. The sound is mixing in with the room next door. You can't hear clearly. Yeah. It's just horrible. And then now they expect you to download their app. And they click a link that goes to a website that plays something on your phone. It's just not a very seamless experience,
Yeah, Jason, what's next for CineWave? Are there any exciting plans, futures or expansions on the horizon that our listeners can look forward to? Maybe you can integrate the tourism industry's players, Jason.
Well, we're really interested. Have a few little projects coming up, like I said, site-specific, immersive audio projects that we're actually going to help produce and create because we're creators at heart. We're filmmakers at first. And although, it's just a technology that people can use, they can just use the audio technology, sell audio tickets, to audio tours or whatever, and they can create their own content. But we'd like to help come up and help curate stuff that's specific for the site, because we think this could create so many iconic tourist destinations, iconic tourist experiences for people that are really simple, you know, but it's the content. We have to focus on the content. So it's not just about building another big thing. I think, like you said, there are so many big buildings that are white elephants, essentially.
Yeah.
We can project on those white elephants. We can create immersive experiences. We can tell stories that are really, you know, connected to the country, to the culture, to the people. And I think that would be really powerful. We'd love to do all of Malaysia because obviously it's my hometown and I've only just really started to discover it again. But there are so many opportunities.
Yeah. Finally, Jason, what is your advice to our tourism players with regards to the current developments with all the technologies? You know, like I did mention that the tour guides are so scared, travel agents are, you know, so scared about it. What is your actually, what is your one sentence advice for these tourism players to be brave, to be, and you know, to start moving and to start forget about the all the horror story about this AI and development?
Well, the one sentence would be face your demon, right?
Because, I love it.
Because it's coming. Whatever, you know, whatever you like, whether you like it or not, it's coming. It's a tsunami coming. This AI is a tsunami. Wow. But to draw it to a close, as I did with WIT as well, we do have one major advantage, and that is the human emotion of kindness, right? Yeah. AI knows no emotion right now. It has no kindness. It doesn't matter what you feed into AI, it will create it, whether it's good or bad, evil, whatever. We have something that's really powerful, which is the ability to empathize with someone. And immediately when we empathize, we identify the human problem that's there. And then we can solve that human problem. And it's all done through kindness. If you think about it, in the service and the tourism industry, it's all about kindness, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the time. I think a lot of players get lost in the whole business of it and the microeconomics and the sitting down and doing their maths and where can I save, where can I? And they lose sight of the fact that it all started and ends with just kindness and creating a something that someone else can experience, be moved by, right? They forget that. We came out and when we started these experiences, we were completely fresh. We'd never done experiences before. We'd done theater shows, but we realized it's the same. We're putting on a show. But if we want to put on a show, what should we do? So we looked at the chairs and made them really comfortable. We put little, you know, tea lights down. People loved it. They were taking so many Instagram shots, right? We found a white wall that nobody was using. Because, you know, you couldn't run events on that island and make a lot of noise. We made it, this is an interesting story. We gave them, you know, mosquito spray for free. This VC came up to us one night and said, "Hey guys, I'm a VC. You're so stupid. You're giving mosquito spray for free. You should be charging everyone for a small bottle, right? At least two times the price. They would have to buy because they can't get it anywhere." And we looked at that and he said, "Give me a call." We never called him, of course. Right? Because I think that kind of thinking is going to kill your business. I believe. Who knows? Maybe he can make a lot of money. But that kind of thinking is ridiculous. Because if you don't give value to people and you're not kind to people, you know, what do you think they're eventually going to review? What do you think they're eventually going to say about you? And lots of businesses, by the way, you know, are predicated, are built this way. It's like, I believe cinemas, business model of $1 million a haul, and then I'll scrape back that money by overcharging on a commoditized product, popcorn and, you know, powdered Coke.
Yeah.
I just find that strange.
I can relate that. I think
food to eat by themselves, right?
Yes. I can relate that, Jason. I think I still remember that some hotels did charge on Wi-Fi once upon a time. Yeah. Now it's, you know, it's free. Once upon a time they charge the guests for the Wi-Fi. So I think, you know, you need to be move forward. You need to see how can the you cannot create another like for example a model like cinema. I think that I agree on that, and also you have to face the demon. Is, you know, the devil you know is better than devil you don't know.
That's, yes.
Well, so you have to face it.
You know, we did too, and we said, "Gee, it's coming like a tsunami," and it's so overwhelming. But once we dived in and started playing with the tools, we said, oh, wow, this is so powerful.
Yeah.
It can really empower us to create new things. You know, the ideas, once your ideas get flowing, suddenly new business came, actually. And then we showed that, you know, presentation in Penang, and suddenly a couple of people called us and said, hey, can you do that for us? Can you bring that to our venue? We said, yeah, I mean, and we can help you create it, you know, but we have to start thinking out of the box. And I think AI will help us reimagine things, you know, as we move forward. It will help us think out of the box, because sometimes you're a bit stuck. But I think that's going to be the challenge, because now, you know, in this new AI world, everyone's going to be able to market as fast as you know, get stuff up, you know, write as fast as you, create pictures and advertising as fast as everyone else. Now it's going to come down to the end product. And
the end product,
what I feel as a human being when I come to your event or your space or your venue, do I feel I've been treated well? You know, do I feel connected to the space? Do I feel an emotional connection to that space?
Yeah.
Everything else is going to be easy to replicate, right?
I love to talk to you the whole day. No, I think, you know, it's so interesting. It's blown out of my mind. Jason, if our listeners want to keep in touch with you, what is the best way? Through social media, through, you know, how can they connect with you, Jason?
Well, they can go to our website, which is cinewave.com, cinewave without the E, .com. And then they can just fill out the contact form. We get back to you, and I read every single one of those emails. Mm-hmm. They can also go to our Instagram, which is Cinewave, Facebook, and LinkedIn. We're there. We've got a page there too. LinkedIn is particularly good because then we know it's a kind of a B2B contact, we get a lot of leads and you know, partnerships through LinkedIn. So that's good. I'm there, Jason Chung, and then we have a Cinewave page there as well.
I mean, fantastic, Jason. Just one last question: are you going to be a Power Ranger again?
Well, I'm not sure if I'll ever act as a Power Ranger again. I think I'm too old for it. But
young.
At Singapore Comic-Con this year, as a Power Ranger, I do get asked to be part of Comic-Cons and trade show. I don't know, the convention, sorry.
Yeah.
In the States too. So I will appear from time to time, you know, as a Power Ranger, or as the actor rather. And I have to say that it's been really fun to be part of that universe. You know, it's part of an amazing, unique product that someone created, dreamt up, you know, many years ago, and has stood the test of time. So it's really wonderful when people, you know, in their, like just the other day, 25 to 30 year olds come up to me in Singapore, even Malaysia, like your colleague did, and said, hey, you're the Power Ranger, right? Yeah, you made my childhood really fun. Thank you so much. And that's a real thrill to me. Again, you know, when you entertain people and you give them a great experience, they remember it for life. I mean, these people were watching me 20 years ago when they were 5 or 6, and they still remember it so many years later. So I think my message, final message to all the people out there, is don't create commoditized experiences, you know, and copy everyone else. Let's create, you know, deeper stories that connect with people, because that's going to be a lifelong connection. And I think that's going to be really powerful for your
brand. There you go, guys. Our superhero, Jason. Thank you very much, Jason, for all your thought. And I think I feel there's a lot of takeaway points from this today's sessions that will undoubtedly inspire our tourism players. And I think, you know, I'm looking forward to work with you, Jason. Everybody's looking, you know, hoping that we can do something. We can do magical contents in Malaysian's buildings and icon buildings. I think that you're looking forward to it. Thank you very much again, Jason. I think that's a wrap for today's episode of Tourism in Malaysia. Thank you, Jason. Have a great day. All the best to you, Jason. Thank you.
You too. Thank you, Yu.
Guys, what is your target for 2023? Would you like to penetrate international markets such as Indonesia, Middle East, European, or even American market? If so, don't miss any of USAID's live webinar and videos to learn on new market opportunities. Go to USAID.online now.
Face your demon!
That's a strong advice by Jason Chan, our guest today. You know, we can't just run away from the technology in AI. We need to leverage these technologies. So I hope you can find a lot of takeaway points from these episodes. If you do, please subscribe to this podcast for free at wherever platform you're listening to. And I hope to see you in the next episodes. Have a great, productive day.